Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'audu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim, bismillahirrahmanirrahim, wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habibullah, wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series, The Islamic Parables. Inshallah Azzawajal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the questions of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Dear viewers, in a beautiful hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. It is mentioned in a hadith an Abi Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qal, that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Sa'ala Musa rabbahu an sitti khisal. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah azza wa jal about six characteristics, which he thought were purely for him alone, and he did not like the seventh one. He said, Ya Rabbi, ayyu ibadika atqa. O my Lord, who amongst your slaves is the most pious? To that Allah Azza wa Jal responded, Alladhi yadhkuru wa la yansa. That he who remembers Allah and does not forget. Then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked again the second question, Fa ayyu ibadika ahda. He asked, who amongst your slaves, your servants, is the most guided? And to that Allah Azza wa Jal replied, the one who follows the guidance. Musa alayhi salam asked that who amongst your slaves is best in judgment? Allah Azza wa Jal responded, Alladhi yahkumu linnasi kama yahkumu linafsihi. The one who judges for people just as he would love to be judged himself. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he asked again, Fa ayyu ibadika alam. Wallah, who amongst your slaves is the most knowledgeable? To that Allah Azza wa Jal replied, Qal, Alimun la yashba'u min al-ilm yajma'u ilma an-nasi ila ilmihi. The one who is not satisfied and always has a thirst for knowledge, he adds the knowledge of people to his knowledge. Subhanallah. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked another question. Fa ayyu ibadika az? Who amongst your servants is the most honorable? And to that Allah Azza wa Jal replied, that Alladhi idha qadara ghafara. The one who forgives when he has power over others. Musa alayhi salam asked again, Fa ayyu ibadika aghna. He asked, who amongst your slaves is the most content? And to that Allah Azza wa Jal responded, Alladhi yardha bima yu'ta. That the one who is pleased with what he has. Again, after that, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked now the last question, Fa ayyu ibadika afqaru. Meaning, who amongst your slaves is the poorest? Allah Azza wa Jal replied, Sahibun manqusun, the one who desires more than his need. Allahu Akbar. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Laysa al-ghina an zahrin innama al-ghina ghina nafsi. That indeed, satisfaction is the satisfaction of the soul, right? If Allah intends good, meaning وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا جَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَتُقَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ شَرًّا جَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. That if Allah intends good for his slave, then he places satisfaction in his soul and his taqwa in his heart. And if Allah Azza wa Jal does not intend well for a bondman, then he places poverty wherever he turns. Allahu Akbar. And this is the hadith of Sahih Ibn Hibban and other books of ahadith. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's now look at the wisdom behind these questions asked by Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal's response to these questions. And subhanAllah, the first question Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, Ya Rabbi, ayyu ibadika atqa? He asked, Oh my Lord, who among your slaves is the most pious? And to that Allah Azza wa Jal responded, Alladhi yadhkuru wa la yansa. That he who remembers Allah Azza wa Jal and does not forget. Now, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is one of those actions which are most effective in this regard. And why not when it bears witness to one's love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. As it is the Arabic proverb, Man ahabba shay'an akthara dhikrahu. That which you love the most, you remember the most. And if a person loves Allah Azza wa Jal, and a Muslim's love for Allah Azza wa Jal is more, subhanAllah, compared to anything else. The hadith Qudsi, it says that Ana jalisum man dhakarani, that I am companion to the one who remembers me. Now it is up to us how much we want to be in the company of Allah Azza wa Jal. The more we remember Him, the more blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal's ma'iyyat, His mercy, we would gain, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. So it is dependent as to how much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we as servants, as bondmen, as slaves, we make. When it comes to the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that أَفْضَلُ ذِكْرِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَفْضَلُ دُعَاءِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. That La ilaha illallah is the best dhikr and Alhamdulillah is the best dua. La ilaha illallah refers to the entire kalima, including Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And why does the kalima not complete without Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The complete kalima is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because even Iblis would recite La ilaha illallah, but that was not enough to save him from disbelief, from being accursed. A person can only be believer when he adds Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This powerful statement makes the disbeliever a believer and purges the heart of spiritual diseases. The heart awakens to the combination of Allah's glorification and the prophetic praise. Therefore, it is the most superior dhikr. The noble Sufis, they hailed the kalima for purifying the heart. Sayyidina Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn al-Arabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that this hadith reached me. Which hadith? Man qala la ilaha illallahu sab'ina alfan ghufira lahu. وَمَنْ قِيلَ لَهُ غُفِرَ لَهُ أَيْضًا. That the one who recites La ilaha illallah 70,000 times will be forgiven, and the one for whom it is recited is also forgiven. He said that I had recited the kalima that many times, but I did not have any special intention. Once I was invited for a meal with some friends, and one of the participants was a youth who had spiritual insight. As he was eating, he began to cry. I asked him what happened. And then he replied, I see my mother facing punishment. I then gave the reward of the kalima I had recited to his mother. The young man smiled at once and he said, I now see my mother in a better place. I affirmed the validity of the hadith from the spiritual insight of the youth, and I affirmed the spiritual insight of the youth from the validity of the hadith. Subhanallah. So yes, dear viewers, the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regard that individual who does everything. He reads salah, he keeps fast, he gives zakat, and he does all of good actions. And then the sahabi Rasul, he asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is best amongst those who read salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, that person who would make the most amount of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aktharuhum lillahi dhikra. And then he would ask about the fasting person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once again he said that the one who makes the most dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. This is a very lengthy hadith. And subhanallah, through this hadith, the sahaba, they got to know the merit of making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the second question that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, فَأَيُّ عِبَادِكَ أَهْدَى. He asked, who amongst your slaves is the most guided? And to that, Allah Azza wa Jal responded, the one who follows the guidance. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he provided guidance relating to each facet of human life. His speeches and public addresses were pertinent in this regard. These were conducted on occasions of battles, when greeting delegations, Jumu'ah, Eid and Hajj, etc. All of them hold their own bespoke importance. But the sermon delivered during the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam holds a distinct position amongst them all. The sermon of the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indispensably important historical document and Islamic constitution. It is a charter that champions human rights, a mandate for universal peace, and a strategic approach to human success. Via a multitude of narrators, this can be found in books of ahadith, prophetic biographies, and history. Some authors have even compiled entire works by collecting narrations pertaining to it. During his farewell Hajj, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered 4 sermons, historical sermons. According to Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, the first was delivered near the Kaaba on the 7th day of Dhul-Hijjah. The second was given in Masjid Nimra on the day of Arafah. The third in Mina on Eid al-Adha. And the fourth in Mina on the 2nd day of Tashriq. Now, let's now look at some aspects of this historic sermon that were delivered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he relates that in this sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear your Lord, perform the 5 salah, keep the fast of Ramadan, pay zakat on your wealth, and obey those in authority over you. You will then enter the paradise of your Lord. After thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced, Allah azza wa jal indeed states, O people, we have created you from one man and one woman. We have fashioned you into various nations and tribes, so you may recognize one another. Certainly, in the sight of Allah, the most honorable of you is he who possesses the most piety. Then he says, an Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, and a non-Arab has no superiority over an Arab, nor does someone black have superiority over someone white, nor does a white person have any superiority over a black person, except on the basis of piety. Now, during his Eid al-Adha public address, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, indeed, your blood, your properties. One narrator considers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, and your honor are sacred to one another, like the sanctity of this day of yours, in this city of yours, and in this month of yours. Surely, you will soon meet your Lord, and he will ask you about your deeds. Relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, be informed, you have specific rights over your women, and they have specific rights over you. Your rights over your women include them not being unchaste and to not follow whomever you dislike to enter the home. Be informed, your women have the right to be fed and clothed well. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he relates that whilst sitting on his camel, Qaswa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon on the day of Arafah. He announced, "O people, I am leaving amongst you that which if you hold to, you will never fall into misguidance. The book of Allah Azza wa Jal and my family." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon on Yawm al-Nahr, on the day of sacrifice. And towards the end he said, "Whoever is present should convey my message to those who are not." As many times he who receives remembers better than he who conveyed. After disseminating this advice in his Yawm al-Nahr sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordained, "Do not resort to the actions of disbelievers after I pass, lest you begin killing one another." Allahu Akbar. In another narration related by the companion Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked after delivering a sermon, "O people, when you are asked about me, what will you say?" People said, "We will testify that you certainly conveyed the message, fulfilled the rites, and advised us." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then raised his index finger towards the sky and exclaimed, "O Allah, be witness." He said three times, "Allahu Akbar." This was the great advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the constitutional and historical message of Islam from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his ummah, to the entire world. And then, subhanallah, after listening to the advice from the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his guidance, we make dua that Allah azza wa jal grant us tawfiq to practice these beautiful words of guidance from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil amin. Dear viewers, we were talking about the questions of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So we went over the two questions of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. The third question which he asked Allah Azza wa Jal, "Wallah, who amongst your slaves is best in judgment?" To that Allah Azza wa Jal replied, "Alladhi yahkumu linnasi kama yahkumu linafsihi." The one who judges for people just as he would love to be judged himself. Someone was once asked, "What's the easiest thing to do?" It's a very ironic thing. And the person replied, "The easiest thing to do is to give someone advice. To give free advice, easiest thing to do." And the person, he said, "All right, and the hardest thing?" He said, "To act upon the same advice." How true is that? It is mentioned in a hadith that none can become the perfect believer until he likes for him, his fellow brother, what he likes for himself. And subhanAllah, this hadith, this question of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the answer given by Allah Azza wa Jal is that the one who judges for the people as he would love to be judged himself. As we say in our day-to-day conversation, if it's good for the goose, good for the gander. So don't judge people and forget your own judgment, that you are also going to be judged. So be careful how you judge others. And now, in this regard, we can see so many examples. Like, we don't like something for ourselves, but we give it to others. Right? And let's say, for example, if others treat you badly or they speak to you anyhow, how bad it feels, right? It makes you feel inferior. And it's not a good feeling in any way. Nobody likes to be talked down or looked down upon. But we ourselves, we find ourselves that we continue to do it to others. But when someone does that to us, we don't like it. It's human nature. But doesn't the person whom we are doing the same thing to, doesn't he have the same feelings, same heart? He also gets hurt by these actions. So before we judge others, think, if you were to be judged the same way, how would you feel? Inshallah Azza wa Jal, hope this message is conveyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. The question Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَيُّ عِبَادِكَ أَعْلَمُ He asked, who amongst your slaves is the most knowledgeable? And Allah Azza wa Jal responded, Halimun la yashba'u min al-ilmi, the one who is not satisfied and always has a thirst for knowledge. يَجْمَعُ عِلْمَ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ عِلْمِهِ, and he adds the knowledge of people to his knowledge. Now, the precious treasure of knowledge did not reach us without effort, right? It took a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifices. Rather, our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, they undertook many struggles, faced many problems, and withstood many difficulties in order to gather this knowledge and transmit it to us. They left their hometowns and families, and they traveled far and wide on foot and by horsebacks for many, many days and months on end. Allah Azza wa Jal has encouraged us to travel for the sake of seeking knowledge in the Holy Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal states, translation from Kanzul Iman, so why should it not be that a group from each community goes out, that they may gain the understanding of religion, and upon returning, warn their people in the hope that they may refrain. Now, it is stated that beneficial knowledge can only be acquired through traveling. Yes, and easy comes, easy goes. But when you have acquired something through your hard earning, through your effort and striving, that lasts. And same goes with anything in life. If it comes easy, it goes easy. But a person cannot attain mastery in knowledge as long as he does not travel in order to acquire it. Same concept here. Dear brothers, we will mention some great personalities who had made long journeys for the sake of seeking and spreading knowledge apart. They made it actually a part of their life. A companion of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, who traveled from Medina Munawwara to Egypt in order to listen to one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This journey was at a distance of 1 month's travel. He had to travel for 1 month to listen to one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he arrived there, he heard this hadith from Sayyidina Abdullah bin Unais Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu traveled to Egypt so that he could listen to the hadith from Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After acquiring fundamental knowledge, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would attend the circles of jurists of his time, Sayyidina Hamad rahimahullah, where he acquired knowledge of jurisprudence, hadith, and Quranic tafsir. He rahimahullah also undertook many journeys to Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, and Basra in search of knowledge. And he stayed for a great deal of time in Haramain Sharifain, Zadahum Allahu Sharafan wa Ta'zima. So yes, it is so true when they say no pain, no gain, really. And if it comes easy, it goes easy. And life is hard as we know it. So yes, why not base some hardship on this path of attaining the knowledge of Islam? Inshallah Azza wa Jal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Lameen. Dear viewers, we have mashallah a wonderful kalam. Let's go and listen to the kalam, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallahi unzur halana, Ya Habiballahi isma qalana, Innani fi bahari ghammin mughraqun, Khudh yadi sahillana ishkalana. مولا روسیاں ہوں پر کرم میں دو جہاں کے تاجدار مولا اپنے غم نے اپنی الفت میں رلا زار زار مولا روسیاں میرے زار زار حسن گلشن میں سراسر ہے فریب دوستو حسن گلشن میں سراسر ہے فریب دوستو دیکھنا ہے حسن تو دیکھو عرب کے ریگزار دیکھنا ہے حسن تو دیکھو عرب کے ریگزار
مولا
واسطہ احمد رضا کا دو جہاں کے تاجدار واسطہ احمد رضا کا دو جہاں کے تاجدار
مولا یا رسول
کاش فرقت میں تیری روتا رہوں میں زار زار کاش فرقت میں تیری روتا رہوں میں زار زار
مولا
کاش خدمت سنتوں کی میں صدا کرتا رہوں کاش خدمت سنتوں کی میں صدا کرتا رہوں اہل سنت کا صدا بن کے رہوں خدمت گزار اہل سنت کا صدا بن کے رہوں خدمت گزار
مولا
کشا سایہ کنا سر پر میرے ہے علی مشکل کشا سایہ کنا سر پر میرے لا فتح الا علی لا سیف الا ذو الفقار لا فتح الا علی لا سیف الا ذو الفقار
مولا
یا
رسول اللہ کرم میں دو حبیب اللہ کرم مولا یا رسول اللہ کرم اپنی الفتح میں حبیب اللہ کرم
مصطفیٰ والی تیرے کس بات کا مصطفیٰ والی تیرے عطار کس بات کا کارگر ہوگا نہ تجھ پر دشمنوں کا کوئی وار کارگر ہوگا نہ تجھ پر دشمنوں کا کوئی وار
مولا روسیاں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Welcome back to your viewers. SubhanAllah, it was such a wonderful kalam in the praise of Habibun al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we continue with our today's discussion, and that is regarding the questions of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And SubhanAllah, answers given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he had some questions, some request, and Allah Azza wa Jal answered them. And subhanAllah, we went over the four questions, and the fifth question Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked that to Allah, فَأَيُّ عِبَادِكَ أَعَزُّ, that who amongst your bondmen is most honorable? To that Allah Azza wa Jal replied, أَلَّذِي إِذَا قَدَرَ غَفَرَ, the one who forgives when he has power over others. Now Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that when you gain power over your enemy to take revenge on him, forgive him as a gratitude for it. SubhanAllah, what a wonderful way of putting it together. Let's listen to it again. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, when you gain power over your enemy to take revenge on him, forgive him as a gratitude for it, that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted you power over your enemy. For that gratitude, forgive him, and that will be your gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a wonderful way of saying it, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who said this, he actually did it. He didn't only say it, but he did it with his own action. He had proven it. It is mentioned and in the historical records, as well as in the biography of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that once in the battlefield, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he overpowered his enemy in the battlefield. And that enemy, he spat on the Mubarak face of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu let go of him. He had full control over him. He put him down already. And when he did that, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu let go of him. This man was baffled, he was puzzled as to why he would let him go. And he asked, what happened? He said, no, I was all along, up until now, I have been fighting with you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, if I do anything to you, it will be for my own nafs. It will be for the personal grudge that you did this disrespectful thing to me, and I took it upon my ego. And if I do anything now, it will be for my ego and not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. Look at SubhanAllah, Mawla'i Kanat Mawla Ali, Karam Allahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. How he does not only say it, but he practiced it, SubhanAllah. These were the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were the embodiment of guidance. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahu Akbar, the world has never seen something even close to it, how he forgave his enemies, his ardent enemies, those who were thirsty for his blood, those who persecuted and executed his Sahaba, those who troubled his family, those enemies of Allah and Rasul Azza wa Jalla sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave. Yes, when Makkah was conquered, on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, the Fath-e Makkah, at that time, everybody was saying, there was this buzzword that what's going to happen to us? All the kuffar were worried and they were frightened for their life. They knew what crime they had committed, and their crimes knew no bounds. But little did they know that the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows no bounds. Allahu Akbar. The mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam overpowered their cruelty. And this is how he responded to their cruelty with mercy. And he set an example for the coming human race. There was no one with so much of mercy, neither before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor will there ever be anyone as such after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore we say, Mustafa Jani Rahmat Pilaku Salam. He is the soul of mercy. He is the life of mercy. Allah Azza wa Jal has sent him as Rahmatan lil Alameen, as a mercy unto the entire universe. So at the occasion of Fateh Makkah, those who had persecuted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had plotted assassination plans against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had troubled Rasulullah. They would come and put filth on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would pray his salah. They would put thorns in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would torture the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Sumayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and her husband. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to them, Isbir ya ala Yasir, that, oh, family of Yasir, have sabr. Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was persecuted on the same land of Makkah, and many other Sahaba, Sayyidina Suhaib Rumi, Sayyidina Khabbab bin Arat, all these great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they suffered persecution. Allahu Akbar. And then the same perpetrators were there all around, frightened for their lives. And one of the Sahaba just made a remark, today will be the day. The revenge will be taken. Al-Yawm Yawmul Malhama. Today will be the day of bloodshed. Al-Yawm Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of mercy. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the entire people of Makkah, that what do you think I'm going to do to you today? They said, no, you are a merciful brother, son of a merciful father. And to that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay. And then he did exactly, and in those exact words, la tathriba alaykum al-yawm. As Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had done with his brothers, he also had forgiven them. Although they pushed him in the well, but he had forgiven them when he had the upper hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam did the same. Antum utulaqa. You are free to go. I will hold nothing against you today. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Subhanallah. This is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is what Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned here in response to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's question. Alladhi idha qadara ghafara. The one who forgives when he has power over others. And same thing Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he said that when you gain power over your enemy to take revenge on him, forgive him as a gratitude for it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam stated, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزًّا. Allah Azza wa Jal increases the honor of the person who forgives. So learn to forgive and forget. He who does not forgive is not forgiven either. So learn to forgive, inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will be forgiven as well. This hadith may relate to honor in this world, whereby the individual who forgives others is held in high esteem by people. Or it can relate to honor that forgiving people will receive in the hereafter. In either case, the hadith makes an unequivocal distinction between actual honor in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal and the type of honor that society encourages. Honor as per mistaken societal norms is acquired by exacting revenge against others for the slightest misdemeanor, or by bullying and berating those who are less privileged or weaker than us. These truly repugnant perceptions of honor and respect have led to nothing but a society imbued with disharmony, riddled with disputes, violence and murder. A discerning look reveals that feigned apologies and pretentious acts of remorse are at the heart of the disease that plague our communities. Unfortunately, most apologies have been reduced to empty words, where phrases like, forgive me, I'm sorry, are uttered by the tongue, but the scars of enmity remain deeply etched in the heart, and the burning passion for revenge continues to insinuate within the heart. Unless we transform the very spirit of our approach, neither can we genuinely respect others, nor can we be truly respected. With this heart-wrenching reality before us, we can feel the dire need for solution. Let's, inshallah, azawajal, reflect on an incident from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sayyida Ummi Hakim binti Haris Makhzumiya radiallahu ta'ala anha visited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to embrace Islam, and she remarked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikrama. Who is Ikrama? Inshallah, that will be clear just now. Ikrama is fleeing to Yemen. What she said? Ikrama is fleeing to Yemen. He fears that you may execute him. Kindly grant him refuge. Upon hearing this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him refuge. Ummi Hakim then began to search for her husband, Ikrama. She radiallahu ta'ala anha found him in the coastal area of Tihama and cried out that, I have come to you on behalf of the most virtuous and pious person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So do not ruin yourself. After she radiallahu ta'ala anha informed him about the refuge granted to him, Ikrama said, did you actually do this? She said, yes, I implored him and he agreed to forgive you, to give you refuge, to give you amnesty. Having heard this, he returned with Ummi Hakim to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he embraced Islam and made everyone a witness to this. He then sought forgiveness from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his past mistakes. Allahu Akbar. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's act of forgiveness was so impactful that it drove Ikrama to Islam. And who was Ikrama? A person who had previously fought wars against the Muslims and whose father was none other than Islam's worst enemy, Abu Jahl. Not only did he become a Muslim, but a heroic companion who would eventually give his life for the cause of Islam and join the ranks of martyrs. For someone to forgive others, despite having the ability to take revenge, causes acceptance and love in the heart of the wrongdoer. This is an inseparable aspect of the human psyche we can see throughout history. It was this very relationship between forgiveness and acceptance that drove the disbelievers of Makkah to embrace Islam and in large numbers and become loyal adherents when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave them during the conquest of Makkah. There is a famous saying, do good, feel good. This is a reality. As one feels content after performing a good deed, also by forgiving, we feel motivated to perform further good actions. Moreover, the person who wronged you will acknowledge their mistakes if your response is positive, gracious, and forgiving. Forgiving others severs the roots of enmity and hatred, creates a conductive environment for resolving conflicts and promotes mutual respect. In this way, all factors that diminish one's respect are mitigated through the acts of forgiveness. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us tawfiq to forgive each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Dear viewers, we have, mashallah, a very beautiful nasiha as well today, as every other day. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we are going to listen to this beautiful Madani pearl, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
My dear viewers, Allah Almighty states in the glorious Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. The miraculous life of Prophet Musa alayhi salam is evidence of his patience and resolve. He tended to the sheep of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam for many years due to a promise he made. After receiving prophethood, he confronted Fir'aun and challenged the latter's tyranny and claim of godship. He delivered the message of Allah's oneness despite Fir'aun's oppression and cruelty being well known. He preserved through dangerous circumstances when Fir'aun and his people sought to take his life. The Quran mentions this as follows, "And Pharaoh said, leave me to kill Musa and let him call upon his Lord. Indeed, I fear that he will change your religion or that he will cause discord to emerge in the earth." After these hardships, he then faced the challenges of dealing with his nation. Yet his patience did not waver. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam eulogized him by saying, "May Allah have mercy upon Musa. He was tested with greater than this and remained patient." I pray that Allah gives us all the ability that we're able to adopt patience, just like Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And I pray that Allah gives us all the ability that we're able to be patient, just like the other prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah, we were listening to this nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Dear viewers, we were discussing the questions of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the responses by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discussed five questions so far, and now the sixth question was, فَأَيُّ عِبَادِكَ أَغْنَى. Musa alayhi salam asked, "Who amongst your bondmen is the most content?" To that Allah Azza wa Jal responded, "Alladhi yarda bima yu'ta," the one who is pleased with what he has. See, viewers, we as humans, we desire, and our desires are deeper than the depths of the ocean and vaster than the earth and the sky put together. Fortunate are those who combat their desires with the shield of contentment while acting upon the Islamic teachings and lead a peaceful life. Along with being one of the most beautiful traits of human life, contentment is also a source of satisfaction, tranquility, forbearance, and solace, because the one adopting contentment attains the treasure of peacefulness by observing forbearance and avoiding running after accumulating excessive wealth and fulfilling his desires. Whereas the one who turns away from contentment becomes a slave of his nafs and wanders astray here and there, because contentment is such a treasure that makes one independent from the dependency of others. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us independent of everyone other than him and only be dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Allahu Akbar. And this is a wealth that once you have it, you don't require anything else. Because if we were running after our desires, we cannot fulfill the desires. The resources will run out. The days of our lives will run out. But the desires won't come to an end. So what is the purpose? What is the use fulfilling that which is insatiable? May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the wealth of qana'at and contentment. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in the next program, we'll also come with another topic of discussion. Until then, keep reciting Salawat al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and do keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Islamic parables. Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.